morning's reading is from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus changes water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. And there they stayed for a few days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rosie. Morning, everybody. Just open in prayer. Dear Lord God, just may these words be your words for our hearts and minds this morning. In your name, amen. So, if Ben asked me the question, savoury or sweet, it would always be sweet. I have a ridiculous sweet tooth. And I just love puddings. Puddings or desserts, maybe you call them desserts, I call them puddings. And actually, I judge a restaurant not by its main course, that's easy to get right, but by its dessert menu. And when they bring the menu out, I say, "Can I have the dessert menu?" And I'll choose my meal backwards, depending on what they have afterwards. Because really, for me, it's the best that comes at the end. The sweetness comes at the end and makes the meal. And this miracle, Jesus' first, is an incredible example of saving the best till right at the end of the wedding. And I need to be honest, I've read this miracle so many times and I've gone, "Oh, that's interesting. Jesus' first miracle at a wedding." I haven't really given it a second thought. Well, I have given it a thought about it. I thought, "Oh, Jesus turns water into wine. Everyone's drinking quite a lot. Probably not very Anglican." But in preparing for this talk this morning, I've kind of really delved into the scripture. I've gained fresh insight, which I want to share with you this morning. This miracle is absolutely loaded with symbolic meaning, and it speaks really powerfully to us today. And that message really is God's new relationship with us through Jesus. So let's delve in. The first two verses, I think you could do a whole talk on, because there are so many questions that come out for it. When John writes, he writes with purpose. Every single word he puts in has a meaning. And he gives you the clues, the significance of why this is so important, this miracle. So I'm going to pick out a few in the first two verses. The date. He opens up on the third day. Why does John write on the third day? It's not the third day of the wedding. It is the third day of Jesus' ministry leading up to this point. John is carefully counting the days up to the wedding. It's like a running diary. And it's, if you go back to chapter 1, it's the third day from after Jesus goes to Galilee to call Philip and Nathanael. So the third day for John is representing waiting and preparation for something great to come. Because on the third day, in the creation story, God gathers the waters to reveal dry land and causes vegetation to grow. It's about preparing for growth, making the earth ready for life. And also, what happens in the third day with Jesus' resurrection. Next, the event. It's a wedding. Why a wedding for the first miracle? Well, weddings are socially really important events. They bring people together to celebrate. And they're incredible events of wonderful community celebration. Weddings back 2,000 years ago in Cana would have been a whole week long. Not a Saturday afternoon. A whole 7 days of celebration. The whole village and community came together. And weddings in Scripture often symbolises the relationship between God and his people. And the ultimate sign we see that is in Revelation 16, verse 6 to 9, where it symbolises the end time, that symbolises the union between Christ and church through a wedding. So weddings are significant for John. And again, it points us to the importance of this miracle. Next one, the location. Cana in Galilee, a small rural village, not well known. It certainly was not Jerusalem. It wasn't the Grand Temple. It wasn't that people knew about it. It was an absolute backwater of a village where ordinary families, ordinary lives, ordinary sorts of people living their ordinary, important but ordinary lives. It was not for the privileged and the elite. This miracle happened in an ordinary village. And next, the invite list. And Jesus' mother was invited alongside the disciples. John does not refer to her as Mary. Why? Why not refer to Jesus' mother as Mary? Because for John, it's a representational role in this story. It's not just a personal one. And for John, she could represent faithful Israel, waiting and believing that God would act. And why were the disciples invited? Because they had just been called to follow. Chapter 1 is about Jesus calling to follow. And they were called in the verse 11, we see Jesus wanted them there to reveal his glory. They were there on purpose to see, believe, and start to understand who Jesus is. This invite was faith-forming, creating a new community of believers. So you can just see in two verses, it is absolutely loaded with meaning. So let's get into what actually happened. They run out of wine. And that would not have been good. That would have been a huge embarrassment for the host. Actually, shame. Probably the wedding would have come to an end without the wine. And the community, the perception of the marriage would have carried on for the rest of their lives. And Jesus' mother steps in and she intervenes. And Jesus' response, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Just to contextualise that, I did try it at home this week and it did not land. It did not land. Please don't try it. But the woman 2,000 years ago was an endearing term, but not for 2025 in Hedge End. Please don't use it. But you can just imagine Jesus endearing towards his mother. "Mother, woman, why are you involved me in this?" A kind of gentle, affectionate, maybe slight rebuke in that. But Mary had been waiting. She'd been waiting for years. She knew before Jesus was born that he had a purpose, he was divine. And it's this moment she steps out in faith, 30 so years on, knowing that she had to ask something of him. And he says, my hour has not come. And it kind of shows that his public ministry hasn't yet started, although, interestingly, he honours his mother's request. And then we get to the miracle. And we see in the reading today, ceremonial pots were used for ritual purification. And these pots would have been, in Levitical law, used for hygiene. So you use them. You'd when you come into somebody's house, you would clean your hands with these pots. They were used for cleaning all sorts. And then you were spiritually cleaned from using these pots. These weren't just any pots. These weren't just filling the bucket up. These pots, ceremonial pots, had meaning. And so Jesus actually chooses these intentionally. It was intentionally. He looked at them and he saw them and thought, symbolically, these pots, these Levitical pots, are the old religious order. I'm going to bring something new here. There are new ways of doing things, and I'm going to use these pots to transform. And moved it from an internal washing to external washing, where into an internal washing, internal transformation, where people experience the joy of God's grace in a whole new way. A whole new covenant. And these pots just weren't filled up. Jesus said quite clearly, fill them to the brim. Don't just fill them up, fill them right to the brim, to their overflowing. And I calculated, my good old calculator, each jar, 60 to 30 gallons, six jars, 180 gallons, that's about 900 bottles of wine. 900 bottles of wine. I don't drink wine, so I just think 900 bottles, that's an incredible amount. And it wasn't just the wine, the amount. It was the quality of it, because it was the best wine. So again, I don't drink wine, so I looked up what is a decent bottle of wine. About 55 quid, apparently, for a really good bottle of wine. And I worked out that's about £50,000 worth of wine in today's terms. That is certainly enough to keep the whole village celebrating for over a week. This miracle shows God's heart for us. He doesn't just give quantity to us. He gives quality, and it overflows right to the top and over. No space for anything else apart from him. So this miracle, this incredible miracle of Jesus turning water into wine, symbolizes a new relationship with God through Jesus. So, this miracle gives us a glimpse of what Jesus was planning to accomplish. And I think there's three takeaways for us this morning. The first one is, everybody is welcome to the wedding. Absolutely everybody. That wedding invite was for the whole village. People weren't excluded, it was for everybody. Wherever you are today, whatever you've done, God's love is there, and you're not excluded from the wedding. You have an invite. Everyone is invited to this wedding. And like communion, we have in a moment, Ben will invite everybody up, and Ben will welcome everybody to the table. No one is excluded from God's wedding. The second point, faith brings transformation. Mary's faith to ask of Jesus shows the power of patience and trusting faith. And faith that has a courage to ask of him. Do we have the courage to ask God to transform us, to become the person he wants us to be? The transformation within from from water into wine. And the third point, joy and abundance in Jesus. God can transform you like the water into wine. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, place it in faith. Place it in those ceremonial pots and let God transform you. The wine created joy and abundance. This spiritual transformation will bring you internal, will bring joy, abundance, and so much meaning, an absolute meaning to your life, to become a child of God. It's not a one-time ask. We are welcome to God's wedding every single day. So maybe this morning at communion, maybe you want to give something to God to put into his pot that can transform you. So, God doesn't provide just what is necessary. He provides the extraordinary. God's grace is abundant, excellent, and personal, and freely offered. And like my pudding, he will save the best till the end. Amen.